Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning. Welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And Happy New Year. Today is New Year's Day. My, I've had two shows, one on Christmas Day and one on New Year's Day. I know that does a lot for your audience ratings, but I believe God has you listening today. I don't know who you are, but I believe God has you listening today. This is a divine appointment for destiny in regards to who and what you are. This show is always about inspiration, education, motivation, and we always do it without any manipulation. That means we have nothing to sell, no gimmicks, no games. Simply the Word of God, as it is written in the original languages, with an opportunity for you to understand it and apply it into your life. If you'd like to have some information regarding these shows and some of the books that I've written, you can always write to me, Rick Hughes, P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. That's Rick Hughes, P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. There are four different books I've written. We'll be glad to send you any book free of charge. We do not request money ever. If you'd like to have a prayer bracelet to pray for some of our military men, I have two wonderful friends that are involved in the war on terrorism right now, and I'll be more than happy to send you a prayer bracelet. That's a gold medal bracelet with the black lettering of General Greg Champion and Lieutenant Colonel Randy Zegers, Defenders of Freedom. And they would certainly appreciate your prayers to remember them as they fight to defend our freedoms in foreign countries like Afghanistan and Iraq. So let me hear from you. You can also pick up the computer and type in on your web browser www.bigrick.org. And there you can email me from there. We'll be glad to send you any book or prayer bracelet if you'd like to have that. Today's show is New Year's Day, and I'd like to talk about some New Year's resolutions. We all make them, and we all break them. That's kind of the way New Year's is. Make it and break it. And so today I want to tell you why. It seems that you're two different people sometimes. Remember that old commercial, "Sometimes I seem like a nut and sometimes I don't"? Well, we are all two different people because there are two of you living inside. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been born spiritually. It's called a spiritual birth. The technical, theological, evangelical term is you have been born again, and that's what our Lord said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, that he needed to be born again. This doesn't mean that you die physically. It means that you're born spiritually. And this creates a conflict because in a spiritual birth, there's a new you born. The spiritual you, but the old you is still there, the fleshly you. That's why the Bible says the spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh wars against the spirit. And they're completely contrary one to the other. The old you thinks in terms of human dynamics, human viewpoint. The new you, you must train to think in terms of spiritual dynamics or divine viewpoint. And the Bible is very clear about this. The Bible is very clear that we have to train our minds to think in a different way. That's right. If you want to be a different you, you have to think in a different way because you are what you think. You have always been what you think. And when God wants to check you out, he's not looking at your image and your style. He's not impressed with that. He's impressed with the character and the content of your heart. He looks at what you're thinking. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 12:1, "I ask you and beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, and this is your reasonable service." There is your New Year's resolution. Present your body as a reasonable sacrifice here, giving your body to the Lord. In other words, you saying, "Heavenly Father, I'm no longer going to live for me, but this year I'm going to live for you." And the verse goes on to say in verse 2 of chapter 12 in Romans, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to this world. What does that mean? Well, the spirit of the times. It's called the zeitgeist. It's always out there. It's like a cosmic vortex that spins around, sucking in people. People buy into the spirit of the times, especially at Christmas. They buy into the spirit of the times. If you want to get happy, if you want to have a good Christmas, if you want to get into the Christmas spirit and go buy presents and give everybody something. And that makes you feel good. It's the spirit of the times. Well, the spirit of the times and the world that we face today is a very evil spirit. It's a spirit that wants nothing to do with God, nothing to do with the name of Christ, to obliterate it completely from the American public's view. And if anyone dare talk about Jesus Christ, if anyone dare mention the name of God in a public venue, sue him, shut him down, so that he will not be able to bring to remembrance Jesus Christ or God to the public's view. We are at a sad time in America today. And so many people, as I said on our show last week, are looking for the gifts and forgetting the giver. We are free today, compliments of the grace of God. We may not be free much longer if some of these ridiculous laws that are being passed in favor of the terrorists continue to be promoted and passed. We need to get tough on terrorism, and we need to get tough in our own spiritual lives. How do we get tough in our life? How do you keep from making the same mistakes next year that you committed last year? How do you keep from being the same old jerk you were last year? You change the way you think. You change your thinking. That's what the Bible says. You begin to think in terms of divine viewpoint and not human viewpoint. It was human viewpoint that got you in this mess to start with. It was your rationalization, figuring out that this is what I needed to do. It was your arrogance that justified why it was okay for you to do it. And now you're in a mess. And you're thinking, oh God, I hope no one finds out about it. Well, God knows. And everybody will find out about it sooner or later, because as soon as you open your mouth and tell one person, they'll blab and tell everybody. So if you don't want to be the same person, if you don't like what you see when you look in the mirror, then this is how you change it. You be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3 says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone that is among you, not to think of himself," listen now, "more highly than he ought," that's arrogance, "but to think somberly, soberly, as God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith." You see, what God wants you to do is think in terms of sanity, reasonable thinking. See, the mental attitude is the function of your thought. And these verses tell us we're to renovate our thinking. We're to renovate our thoughts. We're to change the way we think. And the only way you can ever change the way you think is to begin to think in terms of divine viewpoint as opposed to human viewpoint. And the only way you're ever going to pick up any divine viewpoint is through the Word of God. If you do not establish momentum in your life this year, if you do not get under the authority of a pastor and begin to study God's Word and learn it and apply it into your life, you're going to be the same miserable person you were last year, and you're going to commit the same stupid mistakes you did last year, and you're going to hate yourself just as much this year as you did last year. Did you know that a thought can make you or break you? That's right. A thought can make you or break you. And on the other side of the coin, a lack of thought can destroy you. You have to learn to think. And this means that you cannot afford to live by control of your emotions. Yes, you have emotions. And yes, those emotions are in your body. And yes, it's wonderful when they do what they're supposed to do. When your emotions go and see a great movie and you say, man, it was really great. I wept at the movie. That's fine. That's your emotions. But your emotions were never designed to dictate policy to your life. You were designed to think, not feel your way through circumstances. think your way through circumstances. What does the Bible say? What is divine viewpoint here? Not what do my friends say? Not what do my parents say? What does God say? Or not what do I feel about it? You can't operate on your feelings. They are deceptive, and they will destroy you because you have a lack of thought. You must learn to think clearly. And that's why the Bible is very clearly here saying to us, we must renovate our thinking and not be conformed to this world, but be renewed in the thinking of our mind. Now, mature believers, that's believers that have grown up spiritually. That is, a mature believer to me is a believer who has taken the Word of God and applied it into his life and grown spiritually. You can see the antithesis of a mature believer in Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5, 11, where the writer of Hebrews says you've been a Christian a long time now and you should have grown up, but instead you're like a baby that needs a bottle and you can't handle meat. And these believers that he writes to are chastised for their lack of growth spiritually. That usually happens because they're distracted or because they simply could care less. You must grow spiritually if you want to change the way you think. If you want to change who and what you are, it only happens by spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. And when you become a mature believer, then you start thinking totally different from the thought pattern of the cosmos, the thought pattern of the world, the trends, the customs, the moods of the world. That's not yours. You don't belong here. The Bible says you're a sojourner, you're passing through. You're to set your mind on heavenly things. So a mature believer is unique in his thoughts. He's unique in his actions and observations because he lives by a different code of ethics. You see, as a mature believer in Jesus Christ, you live by the royal family honor code. It's a wonderful code to live by. It's a code of integrity and responsibility. And it's a code of thinking like God thinks. In Isaiah 55, 6 through 9, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. It's obvious to you and to me God's original. It's obvious to us that he's absolutely righteous, that he knows all of the variables. That's very obvious. And if we're going to think like he thinks, we have to learn his word. And that starts with a conflict in your soul. And that conflict will never be resolved until you reach maturity. Because there's always a conflict. You'll always be challenged in your thinking. This is where the battle goes on. It's in your mind. And you will read the Word of God. And then you'll think, well, what if I do it this way? Or what if I do it that way? But God doesn't understand what I'm going through. God doesn't understand the pressure he's putting on me. God understands completely what you're going through. Don't kid yourself. Do you think he wants to hurt you? Do you think he wants to harm you? All he wants to do is bless you. The Bible clearly says if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all of these other things will be added to you. What other things? Your priorities, your desires. But you got them in the wrong place because you're focusing on the gifts and forgetting the giver. Now, only the Word of God is the source of divine viewpoint. And you might take a note and understand that no one is authorized to speak for God. Only from the Bible does God speak. And when any preacher, pastor, evangelist stands in the pulpit and teaches the Word of God, then he is telling you what God says. But if someone stands up and says, now I know this is not in the Bible, but this is from God, not. I don't think so. If it's not in the Bible, it's not from God. Now, we all have a viewpoint. We all have an opinion about certain things. We all form certain conclusions. And sometimes they're based on biblical evidence and sound theological discernment. But all of it comes from the Bible. So, the reason we study the Bible is to renovate our thinking. And here's the first thing you got to understand. If you don't get involved in a local church, if you don't get under the authority of a pastor on a consistent basis, you're never going to change the way you think. If you want to make a New Year's resolution, it would be this: to find a church where God's Word is taught clearly, lucidly, without games, without gimmicks, and take your Bible, get a notebook, go sit down and listen to that pastor teach the Word of God. That is how you will change the way you think. You don't have the guts to do that, you're never going to change the way you think. You don't have the guts to take control of your life and the guts to seek a solution to the problem you're faced, you're never going to change. If you do the same thing you always did, you're going to get what you always got. Doesn't that make sense to you? So if you're going to change the way you think, you must eliminate your arrogance. And that means that you can solve the dilemma. No, you can't. You only make it worse. The only person that could solve it is your Heavenly Father, and He has the solution. Divine solutions are the only solution. Human solutions are no solution. That's right. Divine solutions are the only solution. Human solutions are no solution. So if you want to eliminate your arrogance, if you want to develop some spiritual common sense, then it starts with you sitting under a qualified pastor who has the capability to exegete the Scriptures to you. His personality is not important. He doesn't have to like you. He doesn't have to glad-hand you every time you walk into the church and pat you on the back and say, "God bless you, brother. We're so glad you showed up today." That's not the person I'm talking about. The person I'm talking about gives you the privacy to come and go as you please. That doesn't mean he cannot be your friend. That's not what I'm saying. But he doesn't glad-hand you to get you to come to church. It's there. He offers it. If you want it, come and get it. If you don't, then continue to live the same miserable life you've always lived. And you will die way too soon. You will destroy yourself because you never took the time to change the way you think. So if you want to develop some spiritual common sense and eliminate arrogance in your life, you got to get under the authority of a pastor. And you have to let the Holy Spirit control your life. You cannot, and I repeat, you cannot live the Christian life in the energy of the flesh. You have a sinful nature, and I have a sinful nature. And you will never, I repeat, you will never train your sin nature not to do bad things. It does not work that way. That's why Jesus Christ said, "I'm going away and I'm going to send my Spirit, and He will be your very own personal tutor, your very own personal coach, mentor." The word in the original language of the Greek New Testament is paraclete, and that means a mentor. The Holy Spirit is in you. He indwells you. He has sealed you. And by the use of problem-solving device number one, rebound, He fills you. If you allow the Holy Spirit to control your life, then you can live your life in the energy of the Spirit, not the energy of the flesh. That's why the Bible says if you'll walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Paul made it very plain. He said, "Look, I want to do what's right, but I keep doing what's wrong, and it's not me, it's sin in me." You have a sin-infused human nature, and you cannot train it to be nice. That's not how you live the Christian life. You live it in the different side. You live it in the spiritual realm, not in the human realm. You live it in the spiritual realm by letting the Holy Spirit empower you. And then it is not I, Paul said, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's how he did it. He did it by Christ living in him. So if you're going to grow up, if you're going to get mature, if you're going to change the way you're thinking, you have to change the way you live. And that means you get out of the devil's triangle. That's right, the devil's triangle. What is the devil's triangle? Three words: sin, good, and evil. Sin, good, and evil. And he's the author of all of it. He's the author of sin, that's for sure, because he committed the first sin of pride, which is a manifestation of arrogance from the soul. He is the author of human good. The worst thing in the world is organized religion. That is human good. It is you thinking that you're going to go to heaven because you go through some ritual that has no reality to it. Christianity, you have heard it said, I'm telling you again, it's not a ritual. It's a relationship. Religion is the enemy of Christianity. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Sin, good, and evil. Yes, evil. He is the author of evil. The Bible says in Colossians 3:2, think about the things of God in heaven, not the things that are on the earth. In Psalm 34:14, depart from evil and do good, divine good. Proverbs 3:7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Respect the Lord and flee evil. So when you take the Word of God and you deposit it into your soul, it acts as a ready reserve on the flot line. That's what we call our show, the flot line. The Word of God on the flot line of your soul acts as a ready reserve, and it can eliminate the assault of human viewpoint thinking when it comes flying into your life. When you're tempted to be afraid, when you're tempted to be angry, when you're tempted in any area of your life, the Word of God can arise to the occasion and overcome the temptation. The rapid deployment of the Word of God in your life means you weigh all things that come across your desk and you determine what the threat level is. What does this mean? If I do this, what's going to happen? You see, the Word of God in your soul gives you the opportunity to succeed. We all have equal opportunity. Equal opportunity before God. We don't all have equal IQ. That's not the point. We all have the opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ and receive Him as our Savior. That is free for all of us. All it takes is a little foresight to anticipate the result of seizing that opportunity. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you're born again, the first thing you know will happen is you'll have eternal life. And the second thing, there are technically 39 irrevocable assets God gives you at the moment of your faith in Jesus Christ. But He gives you eternal life. He indwells you with His Spirit. These are phenomenal assets. But then you have to have the conviction to live, to plan, prepare, perform. It takes conviction to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, let me clarify that for a minute. You accept Christ by faith. It's faith alone and Christ alone. Don't misunderstand me. But once you believe in Jesus Christ, are you going to grow up? Or will you remain a baby Christian all your life, always being lured by the spirit of the world? Will you find yourself in this same shape next year? Or do you have the conviction to plan to change the way you think and to prepare? What does that mean? Get a Bible, get a notebook, and to perform, show up at church. Don't sit on the back row. Sit on the front row. Open your Bible. Open your notebook. Your preacher might faint. What's he doing? What's he taking notes for? Is he trying to catch me? Listen, pastors love it when you show up with a Bible and a notebook. Some of them even print their notes for you because you're too lazy to do it yourself. So take some foresight, some conviction, and then it requires fortitude for you to implement what you've learned. That's what being a Christian is, foresight, conviction, and fortitude. The fortitude to implement it. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. You know, if I do what you just told me, that's going to cost me. Oh, that's right. It may cost you. You may have to lay some things down and put some things on the line, but so did our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have any intensity in your life? Do you have the intensity of action to take it and take it seriously? And do you have the flexibility to change when things don't work? Here's a great saying. You are never flexible in the essentials of the faith, but you're always flexible in the non-essentials. Give me an example. Well, what does a person wear to church? Listen, if a guy wants to wear blue jeans and a sweatshirt to church, so what? Let him come. As long as he brings that Bible and that notebook and keeps his mouth shut. We always had a little saying, I always thought it was rather funny about church. Just here it is. Show up, shut up, and fake it till you make it. That's right. Show up, shut up, and fake it till you make it. So you show up at church. You got your Bible. You got your notebook. Keep your mouth shut. Sit down. Listen to the preacher teach the Word of God. Take good notes. Go home. Put it into your life and live by it. That's what it means to be a mature believer. Now, sometimes it requires loyalty. Loyalty up and loyalty down. Did God ever turn His back on you? No. Have you turned your back on him? Oh, yeah, a lot of times. It requires a little bit of loyalty. If you're going to grow to be a mature believer, you're going to have to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews 12:2, the author and the finisher of our faith. And don't take your eyes off of him, or you'll sink like a rock, like Peter did when he tried to walk on the water with the Lord and looked at the waves rather than the Lord. You put your eyes on the circumstances, you put your eyes on the problem, and you're going to sink like Peter did in life. You must keep your eyes on Christ. You have to be occupied with Christ. That doesn't mean you walk across the street saying, Jesus, help me walk across the street. That's goofy. That's not what we're talking about. You put your eyes on Christ by taking in the Word of God and assimilating it into your soul so that you begin to think like Christ thought and operate on divine viewpoint. You have to have some humility. You know what you got to have? You got to have some guts, some tenacity. That's right. The guts to express yourself. See, sometimes you win a battle, but it's not the war. You might win one battle, but that's not the war. And you're in it for the long run here. You're a believer in the devil's world. You're involved, whether you like it or not, you're involved in an angelic war. You are. You're right in the middle of it. And you're here to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And God, sooner or later, is going to call you to the witness stand. God, sooner or later, is going to let Satan cross-examine you. You want to know how that happens? It happens in suffering. That's the way it happened to Job. When God allowed Satan to cross-examine Job, he allowed Satan to induce suffering into his life, to test Job's sincerity, to see if Job just worshiped God because he had been blessed. God's going to put suffering into your life as a mature believer, to allow Satan to cross-examine you for his glory, for his honor, for God's glory, for God's honor. It's exactly the way it happens. So the Bible says, don't be conformed to this age. What's an age? It's the time of the rulership of Satan on this planet. He's the ruler on this planet. He's been ruling this planet ever since Adam sinned and gave it back to him, and he will rule it until Jesus returns and takes the rulership back that's rightfully his. So understand this. Mental attitude determines your personality. Mental attitude determines your personality. And a well-rounded personality requires an extensive vocabulary so that you can be able to express yourself, to express appreciation. And that's where the Word of God can change the way you think, even the way you talk. The Word of God makes you come alive in your soul. As you grow, as you mature, as you develop a vocabulary, your personality begins to flourish and people begin to actually know who you are. You're no longer a wallflower. You're no longer nebulous and abstruse. Now you become perspicuous. Figure those three words out. That's right. So if the Word of God will make you alive, it'll make your personality shine. It'll give you what you need. Courage, loyalty, the things that we've mentioned here. When God's Word becomes meaningful and begins to be combined in conversation, then you're able to express your personality. It's one of the byproducts of learning the Word of God and the technical vocabulary of the Word of God. And this is why being a Christian is such an exciting way to live. Your New Year's resolution should be to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. It should be 2 Timothy 4:15, 4:12. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Grow, study, mature, glorify Jesus Christ, and you can be the man or the woman God has designed you to be. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
You've been listening to The Floodline with host Rick Hughes. Listen every Sunday morning at 9 for The Floodline with Rick Hughes on 960 WERC.